Let's get our Bibles. John's Gospel. John's Gospel tonight, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. Why don't you stand in honor of God's Word? You've been seated just a little while. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great occasion tonight. And as I come to you right now, I pray that you would intercede on our behalf. I pray, Lord, that you would help me preach tonight. I pray, God, that you would anoint the word tonight. And I pray that we could receive exactly what you have for us. And we'll be careful to give you the praise. Minister to us tonight. And again, for all you do, we'll be careful to give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Everyone in agreement say, amen. You may be seated. As Jesus passed by, I get excited when I read this because it tells me something is getting ready to happen. Anytime Jesus passes by, something always happens. And what I want you to know tonight, we're going to look at the historical accounting in John's Gospel of what happened when Jesus passed by. But I want you to note tonight that here at Taylor County in 2009, Jesus is passing by tonight. And we don't want to miss the miracle. Even in the days to come, all that God has in store for us, let's not miss the miracle. Jesus is passing by. He sees a man blind from birth. Now, you imagine that. A man who has never seen the beauty of a sunrise. A man who's never seen green grass or a blue sky. And yet this man who has lived in total darkness is about to come in contact with the light of the world. Down in verse 5, Jesus introduces himself to this blind man by saying, I am the light of the world. Verse 6, having said this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Now let's just stop right there. What really has happened here, Jesus has spit in this man's face. I mean, he spit on the ground, picked up the mud, placed it on the man's eyes. That's really kind of gross. I mean, let's just be honest. And yet I'm going somewhere with this. Anybody that would let a stranger spit in their face, we're talking about a desperate man. We're talking about someone that says, I've tried everything else and I can't get out of this darkness. I'm willing to try anything. Is that not a picture of the world we live in tonight? Desperate men, women, boys and girls, willing to try almost anything, willing to do almost anything. We wonder why the extreme groups have the following they have. People say, how can Islam be growing right here in America? I'll tell you why. There are desperate men, women, boys, and girls out there tonight that are looking and willing to try almost anything. One of the fastest growing religions in America tonight, is Wicca. Witchcraft. You say, oh, not here in Taylor County. I guarantee you, folks, everywhere I preach, it seems like almost every week, some dear mom, dad's coming up and saying, oh, pray for my kids. Pray for my daughter. She just married into the Wiccan faith. Desperate. Men, women, boys and girls, willing to try almost anything. Here's what really bothers me tonight, folks. We, on the inside, as Christians, the church, we have the light of the gospel. We have the answer to what folks are looking for, but so many times, instead of sharing that light, we're too busy spitting on each other. Say amen or say ouch. Instead of reaching out like Jesus, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and he immediately goes to the man. And he speaks to this man, I'm the light of the world. Now, this man, he's desperate. I mean, he allows Jesus to spit on his face. But he's also a dependent man. Because Jesus says, it's in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man went, washed, and came home seeing. If you're going to get victory tonight, if you're going to experience the miracle that God has for you in the days to come, we have to do exactly what Jesus tells us to do. Go. The man went, washed, and the miracle took place. But I want to preach to you tonight for a few moments. And you pray for my voice to hold up. Brother Lonzi, he saw me when I came in here this evening. He had been home to preach, and he could tell I was under the weather, and he encouraged me. He said, it's not the swine flu, is it? So I've had that on my mind ever since you said that. Lonzi, thank you, brother. So you pray for me. What I want to show you here over the next few moments, there's more than one blind man in this story. There are others that were blind to the blessing. And I just think this should speak to us tonight. As we enter into a new era, as this transition has been made tonight, Jesus is here. Hallelujah. He's passing by, but let's not be blind to what he's wanting to do tonight and every night in the future. The first group that missed the miracle that day were, of all people, the disciples. It's in verse 2. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples are blinded by the problem. How many have problems in your life tonight? Lift your hand. We've all got problems. We live in a problem-oriented society. But when we focus only on the problem, we're blinded to the possibilities of what Jesus can do. And his disciples miss the miracle that day, because they would rather discuss. They'd rather debate. They'd rather have a board meeting. They'd rather say, let's talk about it. Whose sin caused this problem? Their focus was on the problem. Whose sin? Was it his parents, or was it his that he's blind? The disciples blinded by the problem. All of the talk, discussing, debating. Here's a thought tonight, folks. When are we going to stop discussing the gospel and start demonstrating the gospel? But the disciples, you would think, of all people, I mean, they're the ones that had already seen Jesus turn water into wine at Cana of Galilee. They'd already seen Jesus feed 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. You would think when they saw the blind man that day that they would have been saying, oh boy, get ready, here comes another miracle. But they missed it, blinded by the problem. I say it again, we all have problems. We live in a problem-oriented society. In fact, there are folks that make good money off our problems, amen? I mean, you get it real bad, you've got to schedule an appointment. Go in, sit down, tell me about it. If it's real bad, lay down on the couch. Let's talk. Talk, talk, talk. And I guarantee you, after 45 minutes, they're probably going to tell you, you need to come back next week. And we're going to talk some more about this. And we talk, talk, talk. That's what we do with problems. We want to see what Dr. Phil has to say about it. I mean, that's the kind of world we live in. Jesus is all about solving problems. Are there going to be problems in the next 20 years here at Taylor County Camp? I'm sure there will be. But I don't want to focus only on problems. I want to look to the God of possibilities that enables us to overcome. Sure, there are going to be those issues around us, but let's not miss the miracle. Let's not be blind to the blessing like these disciples were, and they missed it that day, blinded by the problem. The second group that missed the miracle that day were the neighbors. Look down in verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. What's that all about? They're saying, there's nothing special with this blind man. He's been here all his life. We know him. He's from the wrong side of the tracks. There's nothing special. We know who he... And they're really not sure who it is, though. And some say he looks like him. Some say, no. And I love the next verse. Verse 9, the man jumped up and said, I am the man. It's good to know who you are tonight. Disciples blinded by the problem. Neighbors blinded by the past. Now watch this. We can be blinded and miss the miracle tonight Jesus is passing by when we focus on the past. And sometimes it's not something bad in the past. Sometimes it's something good in the past. And if we just focus on the past, we miss the present of what Jesus is wanting to do tonight and in the days to come. Blinded by problems, blinded by the past. Let me just say this tonight, folks. Don't ever give up on anyone. Maybe you need to hear this tonight for your family. Don't ever give up on anyone, no matter how bad it gets. I had a great story happen in my life over the last couple years. I went off to college, University of Cincinnati, years ago before God called me to preach. My freshman roommate, now get this, in a freshman dorm, I was 18, 19 years old. My roommate in a freshman dorm at University of Cincinnati was 27 years old. That should have sent up some red flags. But we start school, and to make a long, long story short, my roommate turned out to be a major, major, I'm talking major drug dealer. And this is how he hid from the authorities. He hid from the law. He would enroll in college. It finally occurred to me one day, he never went to class. I'm thinking, something's wrong. This guy was rough. I mean, he was not only someone that sold drugs, he was an addict himself. He was a junkie. And I mean, he was rough, and all he ever did was curse God and curse the church. And I mean, this guy was rough. Through the years, I've thought about him, wondered where he was. kind of guy, you just think he'd probably never get saved. He'd probably never get in. Well, last fall, I guess it was a year ago last fall, I was preaching up near Cleveland, Ohio, and I happened to run into his mother. And I believe in God's providence. We started talking. And I asked about him. She said, oh, it's been hard. She said, he's been on the run from the law his whole life. She said, I've never even known where he was. I never had an address. But she said, I think he's doing a little bit better. In fact, she said, I have a cell phone number for him. And she said, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to call him. You know what? I called him. Out in Las Vegas, Nevada. How many know God can work even in Las Vegas? And December, a year ago, 2 years ago, Tammy and I went out to Las Vegas, and my old college roommate got saved. Don't ever give up on anyone. I mean, he got saved at the MGM Grand Hotel. I shouted through the lobby. People thought I'd won the jackpot. The boy got saved. I mean, don't ever give up on anyone. And what's so fun, this guy, he's a babe in Christ. He's a new creature. And, I mean, he's so innocent. He sends me emails about every week. And he signs off with 5 exclamation points. And he said, here's what they stand for. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and the baby Jesus. Now, you know what, Brother Doug? I could care less that he has Protestant and Catholic theology all interwoven. The boy got saved. God will straighten his theology out. And last February, he sent me a note. He said, I did pretty good betting on the Super Bowl. He said, I'm going to send your ministry $100. Now, again, God will deal with him about betting on the Super Bowl, but you better believe I took the $100. The boy got saved. Don't ever give up on anyone because of their past. Again, I've seen it through the years in our churches. Somebody gets saved on fire for God. And I mean, they're just ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, they're all excited. And all the old timers. Well, wonder how long this will last. I've seen them come. I've seen them go. My biggest challenge when I pastored was, how do you keep new converts away from old converts? Blinded by problems, blinded by past. I know who they are. They're not going to be somebody we can count on here. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible says, do not judge. Period. I studied that in the original language. Looked at what all the commentators said. You know what it means? Don't do it. Judge not. The problem, when we jump to conclusions and try to judge others, innocent people always get hurt. Guy, he got out of his car, went in a drugstore one day. And a little druggist, he was down behind the counter. And the guy said, excuse me, sir, do you have anything for the hiccups? The little druggist, he came up from behind the counter and just slapped the poor man right between the eyes. Which stunned him. Now he said with indignation, I said, sir, do you have anything for the hiccups? The little druggist smiled. He said, well, you don't have them now, do you? The guy said, no, I never did. But my wife out in the car does. You jump to conclusions. Innocent people always get hurt. Jesus is passing by. Let's not miss the miracle tonight and in the days and years to come. Blinded by problems, blinded by the past. Here's a third group, the Pharisees. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day, get this, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Can't do this. Disciples blinded by the problem. Neighbors blinded by the past. Pharisees blinded by preconceived rules and regulations. Old Testament. God gives 10 commandments. One of which says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Great commandment. By the time Jesus comes along in the New Testament, now the Jewish culture custom has over 600 laws. One of which, now get this, they actually went to work, lobbied, made a law that says about this whole Sabbath thing. If your ox gets in the ditch on the Sabbath, you can get him out. They made that a law. Now, the problem with that, once you've made it the law, you can push your ox in the ditch just to get him out. Now, one or two of you got that. Rest of you, just... I'm not going to stay here long because that's not what I'm preaching, but once you've legalized it, it's okay to get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath. You can train your ox to get in the ditch every Sabbath. It's all about shortcuts. It's all about trying to look spiritual on the outside. Jesus looked at Pharisees and he said, you're like those gravestones. Beautiful on the outside, but full of dead men's bones on the inside. You're trying to look good and get away with your sin. Oh, it's the law. We live in a country that says abortion is legal. That doesn't make it right. So here's these Pharisees trying to look spiritual. And they miss the miracle that day because they're hung up on preconceived rules and regulations. How does that affect us as we move forward tonight? We all come from our very own unique perspectives, environments. We all have a framework where we come from. It's how we think. It's the kind of church we grew up in. And this is the kind of music we like. And this is the kind of preaching we like. And this is... We all have a perspective. And with that comes some rules and convictions. The problem is when we try to force our personal conviction, our perspective on everybody else. When we do that, we miss the miracle. Because it's just possible that Jesus could pass by tonight and do something a little different in this service than what you or I experienced somewhere in the past. But there's a tendency if somebody doesn't get victory the way we got it, it must not quite be right. Or we're still a little spiritual than they are. Hear this tonight. I am not against tradition. I have a great heritage in the church. I love the holiness heritage from which I come. You've seen my mom and dad here tonight. They're heroes to me in the faith. But I had to learn something, folks. A great heritage can actually be a great hindrance if we're not willing to be wide open tonight to what Jesus wants to do as he's passing by tonight. Don't take that the wrong way. In fact, let me illustrate it like this. Here's where all of our different denominations come into play. By the way, I love an independent camp meeting where we can all just come and be Christians. Amen. We have all these dividing lines. fences, boundaries. And again, listen to this right. If you take it wrong, you didn't listen right. And I can tell this because this guy's a friend of mine. I have a friend, pastors a little charismatic church, Pentecostal. About 50 people up in West Virginia. I've preached for him before. But he and I are talking one day, and we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just happened to say to him, I said, well, if anyone's ever been filled with the Holy Spirit, it was John Wesley. I said, man, that guy shook two continents for God. And revival broke out, and founder of the Methodist Church, and his reach is still going today. And I said, man, anybody ever filled with the Holy Spirit, it was John Wesley. Well, my little charismatic friend, he went, yeah, yeah, yeah. But he said, just think what John Wesley could have been if he had spoken in tongues. Now, see, I know him. He's my friend. So I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said he'd probably ended up with a little church of about 50 people like you. See, that's not what it's about. But we get distracted. And next thing you know, oh, should a woman be in the pulpit? Oh, once saved, always saved. Oh, and all of these hot button. And in the midst of all of it, Jesus comes passing by. And if we're blinded by the problems in the past and even pre-experiences with God, we may miss the miracle. I could say it like this too. Somebody's turning out the lights. The party's over. That's what they do when they dim. They're telling you to get out, aren't they? When they... Let me say it like this in regard to our camp meeting. I am so encouraged to see a full house in here. Man, I loved that Friday night when, I mean, it's overflow. It was exciting to watch as you know, we first took benches out, and then we brought benches in. Took the good ones out and brought the old ones in. Good to have Bobby here tonight. Joanne, I heard so many good reports about the camp down at Southeastern this year. Put a tent out for overflow. A lot of people say camp meetings are dead. They're over. I don't buy that. I don't believe that. God's still changing lives of these young people. God's still ministering to us in these days. And yet sometimes there's a tendency, well, we need to get back to the way it once was. I mean, I've heard people say, Greg, you talked about the walls being here tonight and air conditioning. I've heard people say, oh, if you enclose the tabernacle, the glory will leave. I've heard it. We'll never have any great services. God will leave when you put the air conditioner in. Let's not be blinded by preconceived rules, regulations. Oh, yes, we need structure. Oh, yes, we need standard. Oh, yes, we hold to our doctrine, and we're going to faithfully teach and preach our doctrine, but let's not miss Jesus passing by. An opportunity to connect with men, women, boys, and girls that are desperate, willing to try almost anything. We have the answer. Last group. Last group that missed the miracle that day. Disciples blinded by the problem, neighbors blinded by the past, Pharisees blinded by preconceived rules, regulations, the parents. Of all people, imagine this, the parents missed the blessing that day. It's in verse 18. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind, had received his sight, until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" They asked three questions. "We know he is our son," the parents answered. That's good. They know who their boy is. "We know he was born blind." They're two for two. "But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." The parents passed the buck, blinded by pride, fear. His parents said this, verse 22, because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." Greatest day in their boy's life. Never seen the beauty of a sunrise. Never seen green grass, blue sky. And the parents are worried about their reputation at church. They're afraid of what somebody else is going to think. And they miss the miracle that day. I've always said I'd love to be in one church service where everyone in attendance minded God. We'd have revival. But so many times, because of pride, fear of other people's opinions, who's sitting beside us, God is moving. We're on the brink of a breakthrough. And we're not willing to let go. Somebody said at age 20, you make decisions based on what others think. That's peer pressure. Age 40, all of a sudden you just don't care what others think. And you get to age 60 and you realize they weren't thinking about you in the first place. So why be in bondage to someone else's opinion? Let go. Let God. Don't miss the miracle. Jesus is passing by tonight. I love verse 25, the blind man jumps up and he says, "One thing I know. I was blind, but now I see." What is amazing to me, the disciples were blind. The neighbors were blind. The Pharisees were blind. The parents were blind. The only man that could see was the blind man. Put your hands together and give Jesus a...